Isaiah 30. Well, this is at the time of Hezekiah when Judah's been attacked by Assyria and they are running off to Egypt to try to get help. And the message of Isaiah is, don't do that, trust in God, not in Egypt. Every time God's people have gone down to Egypt, it's been bad news. You think of Abraham going down there, you think of Isaac. Every time they went, it was bad news. It was a lack of faith. The patriarchs, Abraham and Isaac, I think they went down to Egypt in time of famine because they didn't want to stay in the land of promise lest the famine wipe out some of their flocks. That is, they might lose their wealth. And so they traded, as it were, remaining in the promised land for money, for wealth, as it was measured in those days, by cattle. And it didn't work out. They fell further into sin, lying about their wives and so forth. And so this is the abiding weakness of God's people, to trust in Egypt, which is like the world, rather than in God. And yet this doesn't mean that we become atheists. Judah were not atheists. They were, as you can discern from the book of Isaiah at this time, they were keeping the feasts, they were going through certain religious rituals, etc., but they were going down to Egypt. So, verse 1, you make an alliance, but not with my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. He's saying that if you make this alliance with Egypt to save you from the Assyrians, as you think, you will add sin to sin. That is, you will get caught up in a downward spiral. Just what happened to Abraham and Isaac. They went down there to Egypt because they didn't want to lose any of their wealth, didn't want their cattle to die in the famine or the drought, and, well, it led them into lying about their wives. And this is what happens when you go to the world and take a worldly perspective. You are led from one compromising situation to another. Verse 2, who set out to go down into Egypt without asking my advice. Well, sometimes the biblical record is just very general. You may just get a few highlights from somebody's life when they lived maybe decades, and yet you just get a bit of detail. Whereas at other times, it's as if the cameraman, as it were, of divine inspiration is zoomed in very close up. And verse 2 is an example. They set out to go down into Egypt and have not asked my advice. And verse 4, their princes are at Zoan. Their ambassadors have come to Hanes. So the idea was that, yep, they're now at Zoan and the ambassadors of Egypt have come up to Hanes. That is, I understand the princes of Judah had got as far as Zoan and the ambassadors of Egypt had come up to Hanes. And it's as if the cameraman is watching the two sides, as if he's from an aerial position, as if this is aerial video. And of course, it's from the perspective of God in heaven. And then verse 6. The burden of the animals of the south. Through the land of trouble and anguish, of the lioness and the lion, the viper and fiery flying serpent, they carry their rich gifts on the shoulders of young donkeys, their treasures on the humps of camels, to an unprofitable people. Well, this again is an impressive zoom, an impressive focus on detail. The animals are burdened down. The treasures that the leaders of Judah were taking to bribe the Egyptians with to get them to come and help them against Assyria were on the humps of the camels and on the shoulders of the young donkeys. So it's really zoomed in close, and they risked a lot. The way that they went through the south, or the Negev, was full of trouble and anguish, of lions, vipers, dangerous serpents. And yet we see this recorded in such great detail, and yet we're told that you go down to a land of unprofitable people. For Egypt, verse 7, helps in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I called her Rahab who sits still, Rahab who does nothing. So then, I think that God likewise is trying to show us that he likewise knows exactly all our thinking when we trust in Egypt and the world rather than upon him. As maybe late one evening, you fill in a form on a screen in the quietness of your home, in the quietness of your room. It's dark outside, the light's on, maybe a bit dimmed, and there you are filling in that form. It may be for an insurance policy, a pension plan, whatever it might be. And you're trusting in that. I'm not saying don't have pension plans. I'm not saying don't have insurance policies. I'm not saying don't do it. But the attitude of our hearts is absolutely critical. And God sees that. He reads your heart. He knows exactly what you're thinking as you type the words on that screen. And that possible sort of sigh of relief that, well, yeah, I'm going to be okay. Yeah, financially, materially, I'm going to get through. Yep, I'm good to the end. Now, God sees all that. And what he wants us to do is to trust in him. And trust in the world, trust in human secular strength is perhaps has never been easier, perhaps, than for our generation, where there is so much offered to try to cushion you against possible futures, against possible disasters. It's the stuff of the world of insurance, the world of investment, the world of carefully spread risks, etc. And I'm not saying don't use these things, I'm not saying that at all, but I'm observing how God is zoomed in so close on these people as they go down to Egypt. And he says, you've taken refuge in the shadow of Egypt. Well, the idea was that David had said many times that he was in the shadow of God's protecting cherubic wings. So instead of trusting in that, in God's huge angelic power, they were trusting in the shadow of Egypt. And so when we're told in verse 4 that the ambassadors of the Egyptians came to meet the princes of Judah at Harnes, the Hebrew word for ambassadors is malak, the usual word for angel. Yes, the angels of the Egyptians came to meet the princes of Judah, and the princes of Judah gave them all the wealth that they had on the humps of their camels and on the shoulders of their young donkeys. As we said, the record is so zoomed in on what they were doing, and they trusted in that. And yet, God says that the strength of Pharaoh will be your shame. You have gone down, you've set out to go down into Egypt to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh. But Hezekiah means Yah strengthens, but they had gone to strengthen themselves in Pharaoh. Well, I think Hezekiah was denying his own name, and his princes, his leadership, were certainly denying it, because they were seeking the strength of Pharaoh, the shadow of Pharaoh's wings, rather than of God's cherubic wings. And they were trusting in the ambassadors, or the malak, the angels of Egypt, and not of God. And yet what happens? Well, the Assyrians do come up, Egypt fails, they don't help them, they don't save them, the Assyrians take over the whole land of Judah, and they encircle Jerusalem, and then one of Yahweh's angels goes out and kills 185,000 of them, the siege is lifted, the rest of them run away. So they didn't trust in God's angelic strength and help. They trusted in the angels, as it were, of Egypt. And yet, by grace, God still comes through for them, because just one of his angels just went out one night and saved them, although they had trusted in Egypt. So you see there God's grace. People do trust in Egypt, in the world, in secular strength more than him. And yet, when they really need him, of course, he doesn't have to come through for you at all. You trusted in Egypt. You trusted in the world. You trusted in your own strength. But because of his grace, he has a wonderful way of often doing this, even then, for his people.